This is Chris Verlotte with your top stories on Sports 1140. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reported about an hour ago that Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson went down in practice with a non-contact leg injury. A few minutes after that, ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that Watson tore his ACL and will be out for the rest of the season. Cleveland Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon has been reinstated on a conditional basis by the NFL. If Gordon plays this season, it would be his first game since December of 2014. And week 9 of the NFL starts tonight with the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets. You can listen to tonight's game with pregame at 5 and kickoff schedule for 5:30 right here on Sports 1140.
Well, let's take this conversation that you guys are having off the air, on the air. Welcome in Sports 1140.
No, not that one.
Yeah, no. We're going to edit it down
a
little bit.
Can't do that.
Welcome to the director's cut of the lowdown. Doug Christie here. Grant Napier's off for the day. DC.
What it do, man?
Appreciate you being here, man. It was a fun sports day up until the Deshaun Watson news. Deshaun Watson tore his ACL, out for the remainder of the year.
Dude, that's just... young talent delivering against the odds. People say he wasn't going to make it. His coach says that he's Michael Jordan, and mm-hmm. he comes out with MJ. He had 45 on his back, but he was looking good. And then non-contact, a lot of those injuries, man, just seem to pop up. Unfortunate, because Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, now this one sounds like it's not as bad.
Not as,
But similar to a plant. I wonder, they play on turf, and I'm not killing turf, even though I don't like turf. I like grass. Is there a practice facility? Do we know what he was doing?
No, none of those details have come out yet. I'm pretty confident they were probably on field turf. My guess, non-contact injury, when we first read that, his foot probably got stuck. I mean, that's actually, if I recall, that's what happened to Teddy Bridgewater. It's just the damage to Teddy Bridgewater's leg was just catastrophic.
Right.
Whereas this appears to just be a lot of time. It strikes me as like a basketball injury, right? How many torn ACLs in basketball are non-contact?
Most of them.
You're moving.
You're cutting or you're landing, because that landing, which we call eccentric motion, when you're coming down, you're trying to grab all of that energy. Man. That's unfortunate.
And it's got to be just like a buzzkill amongst the team. I mean, just everybody. I mean, we're bummed. We have no ties to
Houston. Mean, last night you win the World Series.
Yeah.
Before that, you lose JJ. You lose, what was the other kid's name? Torn bicep, torn pec.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, the linebacker.
Yeah, he was good. He's good, too. Yeah. But, I mean, all of a sudden, all of these – and then you something big, you got floods and all the different things. Something really good happens with the Astros last night, and dang, take you back a peg.
Yeah, a brutal 24 hours for the city of Houston. Well, given what the city of Houston has gone through,
yes.
I guess in retrospect, it's not that big of a deal. Sports-wise, just a range of emotions for Houston fans as they go from winning the World Series last night. I don't know what the Texans were going to do, but they certainly had a young and possibly the brightest star in all of the NFL leading the way for them as the second half of the NFL season kicks off tonight, go down with his torn ACL today. We mentioned the Astros run. We can touch on that in just a little bit. Jay Ross and I had Jessica Mendoza with us earlier. We'll run a few clips of that interview back for you. Had some great thoughts on why the Astros were just one game better than the Los Angeles Dodgers. But, Doug, we talked to Garrett Temple a few minutes ago. We kind of made the conscious decision to not talk a lot about the Sacramento Kings in terms of the way that they've been playing. We sprinkled in a few questions there at the end. But, Doug, they've just been getting it handed to them. You know, the last – you know, that was their sixth loss in a row. But they've gotten really beat up the last three games. As a player, how do you – you know, you're on the road. You got a couple of days off. This stuff can kind of, you know, they had the whole day off today sitting in Boston.
Right.
As a player, how do you move forward from these just crushing defeats?
Well, before I got here, I had quite a few. Once I got here, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to you guys, touche, very well done, because that's part of it. Is somebody shoot you the fair one and take your mind away from it a little bit in the national scope of things, because he knew people were listening here and he was probably coming on. And as soon as you're right, as soon as you said LSU, boy, did he perk up. And that's good. Those are things that he needs. So good job, in my opinion. You get away by doing different things, but how do you begin to fix that? In my opinion, you forget about the plays and you go hoop. You go out and hoop. And I can remember many times. I just went down yesterday and talked to Pacific University, Damon Stoudemire, who's the head coach, really good friend of mine, rookie of the year in Toronto. We went through two. One was a 17-game losing streak, and one was a 15-game losing streak. And we lost a couple of them by, like, 1 point. But I can remember he and I just talking and saying, you know what, let's just go hoop. Let's just ball out. And – you guys, I don't see that right now. I don't see that. I've mentioned it on television. I want to visually see the competitive edge, meaning down in a defensive stance, meeting somebody, making it really difficult for them to move around the court to the point where I might even get a foul. And just the intensity. And for whatever reason, when you're trying to learn something, yeah, it's hard to have that. But that's where, quote-unquote, hooping comes in, and that's what I want to see. Just go out there and ball, man. Try to do what you're supposed to do, but just ball.
He told us, too, I thought was interesting, because one thing I was speculating with Damian earlier was, would it be, I don't know if the right term is easier, but maybe that's what I'm looking for, easier, Doug, if they played seven guys tonight, eight guys, whatever night it is, and say, Doug, you're playing 35 minutes or more. Right now it's play a lot of guys, 18 to 26 minutes. You can still get work done and stuff done and the things you just said, just hoop and be aggressive and energy. But I don't know. They're not getting either part, like stats or that what you're talking about, too. Would it be easier if they kind of trimmed it down just even for a little bit and mix up the guys of the seven or eight and kind of focus that way?
You know, the easy answer is that, yeah, you know, it's easy.
But is that helping?
What's the excuse? I mean, like, these guys are young. They were just playing 26, 27 minutes because they were in college.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you play a 40-minute game, you're playing a lot of the game. It's just go out there and ball. You know, it just looks a little uncomfortable. Like, last night I pointed out, you know when someone catches the ball on offense and he catches it and then the defense gets set? As opposed to when he catches it, the defense is there too. That was happening for Boston. We were catching it, bang, the defense is on him. And for us, we catch it, and then the defense, it's like we're thinking. And I know that's probably difficult for coach because he's trying to teach. And when you teach, they have to think. But at some point, just go out and play. This isn't anything new. You guys know how to play basketball. Let me rephrase that. You might know how to play basketball. You might be a hooper. At this point, I just want the fun of hooping. When I mean playing basketball, understanding picks and angles and passing. I'll give you an example. I was talking about pace. Not only pace of moving your body, but the pace at which the ball moves. Mm-hmm. Meaning crisp, bang, passes, catch it. You hear the hand slap on the ball and the talking and the fun that it is to play basketball. Right now, whether it's the learning, whether it's the minutes, whatever, the only guy that I was really impressed with last night, Zeebo did all right job, but I was impressed with Scow because Scow was on the bench and Scow wasn't playing, but Scow got up and cheered his teammates on. And I was like, I like that. That's what basketball is about. It's not always going to go your way. Your character is going to be defined in the moments when it doesn't go your way.
Well, the Kings lose last night 113-86, and, you know, what we've kind of been discussing, and by the way, we were so guest heavy in that 2 o'clock hour. The phone lines are back open for you. Sorry we had to kind of shut them down for a minute, but we had Nate Lundy and Garrett Temple to follow immediately afterwards. But you want to jump in. I know Kings fans have been very talkative today, both on the text line and on the phone lines. 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You got us for the next 2 hours. Lincoln Kennedy will be with us, talk NFL and talk Oakland Raiders coming up at 4:30. Coming off of these big losses, Doug, you know, you can't walk away. Like I say this to Jason all the time. Like, I can walk away, you know, when they have a just horrific first half, you know, mm-hmm. where they're already down 30 points, I can get in my car and leave the Golden 1 Center, or I can go up to the bar and have a drink. I can walk away. Jason can't walk away. You can't walk away.
Right.
You got to sit there and
you feel
suffer
for
through
me.
It. You got to you got to sit there and suffer through it. But it's sometimes those moments that these young players can kind of define themselves a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see in those?
I kind of know what you I know what you're saying. What the one person that I see try to do that constantly is De'Aaron Fox. He says, "Give me the ball. I'm about to do it."
And yeah, exactly. You did know exactly where I was going. Is who's the one who steps in the forefront and is like, "Hey, come on, man, let's keep playing."
Yeah, that's him.
And you can curl up in a ball and just wait for the time to expire.
Man, I've seen it happen many, many times. And the other guy who I see do it, who looks really comfortable, is Bogdan. He looks like I've been in these moments before. Now, is he probably a little frustrated? Yeah, probably, because he's used to having other guys who know how to play the way that he knows how to play. And ultimately, I think his style of basketball is going to be King's style of basketball. But right now, that's where I see De'Aaron. For example, I think it was you, D, I was listening to the other day, and they were like, well, you know, he didn't play well. He had 18 points, but he shot 18 times. Mm-hmm. You know the difference in some – that's 50%. He was 9 for 18. So, actually, he didn't play particularly bad. He didn't get to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. See, Kobe would shoot that same amount of shots, but he would go to the free throw line 10 times. Now, he has 28 on 8, and now it starts to equate and make sense. He doesn't understand that part yet. And if he does, it's how do I become physical? How do I use my skill to get downhill? How do I – and do I have the respect yet of the refs to draw fouls? But I see that in him, to your point, Damon. I totally do. He gets it, and he'll run a pick and roll, or he'll wave him out the way, and he's like, I can do this. And I like that.
Yeah, this team is missing out on so many of those points, whether it's free throws, attempts, and then threes. It's the way the league goes, Doug, and they – every night they're maybe down 10 threes. That's 30 points. How do you make – and you're not getting free throws. They're missing out on what the NBA is right now, is free throws and threes, and it's not in their sweet spot right now.
I have to find this, because this is – I don't know if you guys watch pregame and see Doug Christie on pregame, did you?
Oh, I did.
You did.
We look for the outfits.
You guys.
I do. The feather bow tie.
I come for the ties. I come for the ties and stay for the analyst work.
So – I talked about the fact of assists, three-pointers, free throws, and there was something else. And I was talking about how they intertwined. And it was pretty much all with aggressiveness, because when you're 29th in the league in assists, obviously there's only 30 teams, so you're right there. That lets you know that the ball's not moving. That lets you know that I'm not playing for my teammate. Well, if I'm bad in assists – in this day and age, I'm probably going to be bad in three-pointers, because what do? They drive and they kick, and we are 27th in makes and 29th in attempts in three-pointers. So those two go together. Now you talk about points in the paint. Points in the paint, there are two ways you can do it. You can throw it into somebody. Well, that guy left. His name was DeMarcus Cousins. So can you get points in the paint by penetrating? Penetrating means aggressiveness. Aggressiveness then equates to the assist, kicking it out, but you're not doing that, because in points in the paint, we are 24th, which then points in the paint goes to free throws, because if you're driving into the paint, usually you're going to get fouled, and if you get fouled, you get to the free throw line, and we're 28th and 27th in free throws attempted and make, respectively. So there's a correlation in all those different things, in my opinion. We could talk to coach or anybody and they could give you something else, but when I look at that as an ex-player, that's what I see.
Just for an example of last night's game, they lost all of those battles that you just mentioned right there. Assists, they lost 24-30. Free throw attempts, they lost 12-19. 3-point attempts, 20-41.
Yep.
I mean,
and then makes 6-17.
Look, you're not gonna, in this day and age, you're not gonna compete unless you shoot the three ball. That means that you got to learn how to play. And some of these times, you know what? Like, I look at Buddy, and I was joking with Buddy and telling him, like, you know, if I was guarding you, Buddy, you know, I'm joking around. But we were going to show it last night on television, and I mentioned it to Grant one day, and I don't know if you guys heard it, but when I watch Buddy warm up, every time he catches the ball, he seams it. And if for those out there who might not know what seaming is, they're a little – it's a rubber bands that they go around the ball, and those are called seams. So I try to get a real, you know, a shooter wants to get his hands on those seams.
Lined up.
Right. Well, the difference in high school to college and college to pro, that time goes away, you guys. There's no time for that. That's why you see Klay Thompson, you see Steph Curry, you see Kevin Durant, you see Dirk when he was really at a high level. You see the real good shooters, when they catch it, they don't seam it. Because that time it's like a two-tenths of a second, but that's the difference in me being here, you know, 5 feet from Damon, or being on top of him. And those are little tiny things that you, if you want to be good at this level, not only practicing shooting, but practicing, to use a hip hop term, when they approach the mic, how do you approach it?
Mm-hmm.
It's how you set yourself up to get ready to shoot it that means a lot as well.
Yeah. And you know, we've talked a lot, I know, on our show about the young guys. That's what they're trying to develop, and we understand that. What do you think about the veterans? Because they're here to groom them, but also to play well. George Hill's a better player than this. I mean, I think we can almost give the benefit that De'Aaron Fox has just started.
Mm-hmm.
George Hill knows how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He's underperforming. I think a lot of the veterans are underperforming. Why do you think that is?
Well, when I look at George Hill, for instance, I think it's how you pair George Hill. Because do we all know, the three of us, that George Hill is not an assist guy? You guys mm-hmm. do know that?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's put that out the window. So if you're thinking assist and you're reading his numbers and you're saying, well, he doesn't have, well, that's not his thing. He might get four somewhere in there. He's more of a scorer, defender, slasher. But if you're pairing him with guys who he has to just totally get the ball to, like he has to bring the offense down, set it up, give it to Z-Bo, bring the offense down, set it up, try to get it to Buddy. Those kind of run counterproductive. So you kind of got to, in my opinion, let him go a little bit and allow him to get in and try to create. As far as Z-Bo goes, Z-Bo's a different – his style is one of slow down, give it to me on the block, I'm going to bang you, and that's pretty much what he did last night. So I can't – there's been a couple games where he hasn't played – I mean, I can't look at Z-Bo and go, oh, man, he's just terrible. That's kind of how he gets down. He's bang and grind, and that's what he does. VC, you know, I think VC is going to give us what he has. Coach is going to put him in sometimes. If he's hot and he's rolling, he's going to let him roll. If he's not, we're going to more or less see him on the bench, and he's going to be helping guys out and trying to give them information and things like that.
I think there's another conversation to be had with veterans. It's a conversation that's been taking place all throughout the day and on the text line mm-hmm. as well. Hey, Al, thanks for the call.
Guys, how you doing today?
Better than your phone reception, man. What's going on?
Damn.
Oh, that's terrible. How about any better?
Yeah, we're here, baby. Go ahead.
Okay, I got a couple things. Number one, your point that you made about 10 minutes ago regarding the lineups and keeping guys in longer, maybe you know, going to an 8-man rotation, I think you're right on the money with that. Jaeger, obviously a great coach with a great track record, but I'm not exactly sure what he's thinking right now by trying to spread these minutes out. I'm not confused by that.
You know what? By the way, Al, congratulations. I think you're the first person to call this show from outer space. Al, it sounds like you're
what happened there.
You're on Mars somewhere. But I did catch what you said there, and that's it's a conversation we've been having. And I think actually Garrett inadvertently answered that question that we've been having earlier. Said Dave Jaeger had told him there's going to be a lot of games where guys are playing, you know, in the 20s in terms, you know, 20 minutes or so, and it's because that's how he wants guys to get on the floor, and that's how he thinks they're going to develop. Our question, and this wouldn't have been a fair question to ask Garrett Temple, it's a question that you asked Dave Jaeger. Can players truly develop only playing roughly half of a basketball game? Because when you look around and you see guys like Devin Booker and different guys like that on other teams, who did we mention earlier? Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Those guys are playing 30-plus, 35-plus minutes a game.
Well, some of those guys, their teams aren't as deep or trying to develop as much talent, meaning that you got a lot of guys that you're going to try to develop. Now, you can spot, like they've done with Harry Giles, and said, you know what, mm-hmm. we're not going to develop you right now. I mentioned this last night on the air. I don't necessarily have a problem with the how many minutes they're being played. If, you know, you go out there and you ball with the minutes that you got, that's just mm-hmm. what it is. I personally think that they have to learn how to help each other. And I said this on air last night, and what I mean by that is Bobby and I helped each other. Bobby needed to learn how to score against an elite defender, somebody bigger than him. So we would play one-on-one every day. We're working on our game. We were 29 and 28. These guys are 19 and 20. And we were playing 30 and 40 minutes. So you can't tell me that you're tired. That means you got to get in the gym. Like a day when we're off? Nah. Me, you, and you, we're going to go play one-on-one, and we're going to work on our game. So Papa Giannis versus Willie Cauley-Stein, for instance. Willie needs work on banging. Papa needs to work on speed and length. This is how you help each other to become these players. So if, Damian, if and Jason, if you're only doing what's put in front of you, it's not going to cut it. Kobe didn't just do what was put in front of him. He did vastly more. If you're only going to bring the amount of conditioning that the coach gives you, well, you're probably not going to be in conditioning to play against me. But if you go run, put your miles in on your own, go to the gym on your own, do your jump roping on your own, plus what the coach wants, well, now we're kind of cooking with some grease. And I don't know, and I say this, let me preface that with, I don't know what the guys are doing. They might be doing those things. And if they are, good for them, because that's how you get better. But so they're not going to have a lot of practice time, all these different things. These are ways that in this environment you learn how to improve so that collectively you can begin to get better.
I also know for an undeniable fact, you don't cook with grease.
Olive oil. No, I do olive oil. It's not grease. Exactly. Well, Crisco and then keep it and pour it in the stove on the back. Keep the bucket. And, did you do that?
You're cooking wrong. No?
No, we would use fish grease. And then you clean fish grease, by the way?
How?
You put potatoes in it. Potatoes suck it all up and it cleans it out.
So there you go. If you are
still.
Do you
eat the potatoes after that?
Not so much.
Not that flavorful?
No, that's a fishy perspective. Right there.
Look at you.
And by the way, 321, you've been here 21 minutes, 46 seconds. Two Kobe Bryant references from Doug
Rizzo. Listen.
That was you.
I will pay Kobe.
This is from the guy who had a Mamba skin belt on Sunday night.
It really was a Mamba skin.
You're right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I will pay him the full respect because I took my craft seriously. And I know, and I tell this story a lot, when I first got here, he would knock down shots, and I was right on top of him, hand in his face, like blinding. He couldn't see past my hand. And it was working. And, you know, I'm like, yes. And then the next year we came back, and all I hear behind me is whack, net, psh, psh. And I'm thinking, he spent all summer with someone to the point where that didn't bother him anymore. So when a person pays that type of respect to their craft, I give him full respect for what he is. So when I reference someone working hard and taking their craft seriously, damn right I'm going to pull him out the bag.
Has anyone
got him speechless. You saw that?
Has anyone ever approached you and said, yo, Doug, I want to play defense the way that you did?
Mm-hmm.
Has any Sacramento King, any player in the NBA approached you about that?
Two. And they both play for the Golden State Warriors. Andre Iguodala. And Sean Livingston.
Wow.
I played with Sean at the Clippers, and he asked me a question, and it was about stealing entry passes. You remember how I would jump up and grab them? And one day he goes, man, how do you do that? And I said, so I told him, you know, it's a couple things that you got to look for when you're doing it. And it happens quickly, and you can't give any telltale signs to. And he goes in the game, that day or the next game, and he does it. And he looks over at the bench, he's just laughing like,
I got one.
And he came to me and said, man, I've been here for like 3 years, and you've gave me more information than I've gotten in 3 years in that amount of time. And then he hurt himself after that. Not sure. Dre, it wasn't as much me passing information. He just kind of said, man, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. You know, and we were in the middle of the game, so I really couldn't do it. But those are two that come to mind. And I got some of my information from Derek Harper, the great guard, that I asked him information to pay it forward. So to answer your question, no.
That's a shame, because I feel like that's one of the biggest, you know, I understand that you're a TV analyst, you're a radio show host, but you're around these players, you're around these teams, you've been around this franchise. You mentioned how deep the roster is. You mentioned the vets. Those are two things that I want to touch on. We'll get back to the phones, and we'll continue here on Sports 1140. Continuing in here, it's the Lowdown with Doug Christie. So happy you, for those of you who have stuck around, for those who were expecting to hear Grant. Sorry. I know I'm the last person you expect to hear at 3:30. A couple of notes here, and this will be a great segue to piss some of you off. Deshaun Watson did get clarification from Adam Schefter, who's playing on a grass field.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson tore his ACL. He is out for the year. Non-contact injury in practice. Apparently went down, didn't respond. I think he just like laid there, just kind of like sat there for a minute, and the trainers noticed something was wrong and ran over to him. He said there was no audible reaction to Deshaun Watson going down at all.
Oh, man. That's, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to feel like athletes always know. Fun note, Houston Texans have signed Matt McGloin.
Really?
Yep.
You didn't have to say that.
I'm not even.
There was nothing there.
I'm not. I'll fight my audience, man, but I'm not fighting this one. So I'm just throwing it out there. Matt McGloin has signed with the
What
the
you
Houston
meant there
Texans.
Was another quarterback that was okay. Anyway.
Hey, this is your show. You can say whatever you want today. I'm just here trying to keep everything flowing until 5 o'clock. I don't want to piss anybody off. I know I'm not going to do it.
Anywho.
But you're welcome to. I do want to get to a couple of things on the Kings. Lincoln Kennedy, by the way, is going to join us at 4:30. We'll be here until 5 o'clock when we head out to New York for the Bills and Jets. And as Doug noted right before we got back on, that's a pretty damn good game for tonight.
Come on, man. You wouldn't have thought that earlier in the year. Obviously, there wasn't much. I mean, especially the Jets. You're not thinking that much. And then how about you look at the Bills? And I want to say – I can't remember the number. They are the lowest team, though, in the NFL with guys that they originally drafted. I want to say it's 11.
Wow.
On their team. It might be 16. But that means that they're built with a whole bunch of, and I always come back, kind of the way we were. A whole bunch of guys from other teams kind of got a chip on their shoulder. Like, mm-hmm. You know what? You didn't think I could play in this league? I'm going to show your ass I can play in this league. And, boy, oh, boy, they are playing some football, man. You got to give them credit.
Yeah, trying to break that playoff drought streak. They get the longest one going.
I think they're going to.
I think so, too.
Was it 1999? I think we said this yesterday. I think it was 1999.
Well, and do they have the most Super Bowl appearances in a row, too?
Yes, they do.
That is so bad.
They very much do. But you mentioned the guys with chips on their shoulders and makeshift pieces. They added Kelvin Benjamin at the trade deadline for the worst passing offense in the entire league. So we'll see if that gives them a boost. I feel like this is a Navarro Bowman situation. Catch the ball.
Yeah, he could play tonight.
He could play tonight.
Oh, no doubt.
I heard Josina Anderson talking this morning before our show started at 12 that he might not. But again, I'll throw it. You catch it. Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Just run fast.
In the huddle, you pull your palm out.
Yeah.
Take your pointer finger and you tell him what you want him to
do. Or just say, I'll get open.
Yeah. What did it do? Play action should be interesting.
Yeah.
Oof. Run to the street lamp. Run like your mama's ringing the dinner bell. Just play football, kid.
Take a left at the LTD.
Yeah. I want to get back into some things about the Sacramento Kings. Also, the phone lines are here for you, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. A couple of things that you mentioned. You mentioned how deep the roster is, particularly with young players, because really that's what we're talking about when we talk about the Kings, is the depth that young players have. And that's why we're seeing, 20 minutes played, 22 minutes played, 19 minutes played, 16 minutes played. That's what Scout played. Scout didn't even play in the first half yesterday. Is it too much? Are there too many young players? Because I just looking at this and the amount of young players that the Kings have that, you know, this fan base, and I'm sure that the organization wants them to develop, it seems to me like it would be a small miracle for all these guys to be able to develop. And it kind of goes back to, I think, a little bit, I'm going to take what Jason said earlier about guys playing 30, 35, 38 minutes a game and picking, okay, we know De'Aaron Fox is good. We know that now. Mm-hmm. We want him to develop. Buddy Hield is in his second year. He was the centerpiece, essentially, of the DeMarcus Cousins trade. Basically, those two guys are the center of the DeMarcus Cousins trade. We need them to develop right now. They're the ones who are going to be playing 35-plus minutes, and then we'll pick Scal, Justin Jackson, Willie, doesn't matter who else. But to say, okay, guys, we need you to develop, and we're just going to split the time 18 to 22 minutes for everybody, is it too much?
You know, you can do mediocre for a longer period of time. There is something to learn, is the sense of urgency that you're not going to be out there a long time. Get her done. And if you don't get her done, someone else is coming in. You also get to define, you guys, who's your – and I'm gonna, not that he can't play, but I'm using him as an example because they didn't pick up his option. Who's your Jahlil Okafor? Who are the guys that
would
go –
odd man out.
Yep, he's the odd man out. Okay, now we know, and now you're going to see him move to the end of the bench, and ultimately he might not be in the plans going forward. I was – and this might be because I'm not in practice, so I don't know. But I was hoping – Damon and Jason, that this created the type of environment that was chippy and highly competitive and drove each other really hard so that when you get your minutes, I don't see that sense of urgency. That's my point. When they hit the court, you know, it's kind of like, I'm going to work my way into this. Nah, you're not going to work your way into it. As soon as you hit the court, you hit it running, you're down in a defensive stance, you're chucking people, you're outrunning the lane super hard. And sometimes I'm that's not what I'm seeing right yet. And does it take time? Yeah, it does take time. But there also it has to be a sense of urgency on the players in their mind to do what they need to do quicker.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of comparisons end up going back to the best Kings basketball, which was the teams you were on, Doug. But I think you guys had a group of good people like this group does. But you also, when you guys got on the court, there was where you became nasty. I mean, you were a competitor. And I think they've got good guys, likable guys, good teammates. Where's the edge? Where's that chippiness that you're talking about that, hey, I want those 20 minutes, but maybe they're not a threat because I'm still going to get the 20 minutes.
You know, if you guys would have ever came, and I don't know if you did, Jason, ever came and saw us practice, we scrimmaged all the time. We played basketball all the time. There was a chippiness to us from our second unit that would piss us off a lot of the times because they were almost saying, we're better than you guys.
Yeah.
And if they beat us, boy, would they be chirping.
I bet they would.
And I'm just
led
like,
by Bobby.
I'm like, shit. I would look at our five and I'd huddle up and I'm like, look, we're about to shut these guys the hell up. I am not hearing that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, y'all.
Oh, that was beautiful.
See,
man.
Doug got
the headphones and walk off.
See, does that ever happen with Grant or is it just me? Do we bring that?
Yeah, you brought that up.
See?
Well, you know
so,
what?
Congratulations.
A little bit of the Kings, a little bit of the fan base.
By the way, you're welcome to those listening online, because when you're listening online,
you will get the full deal.
You get the uncensored version of Doug Christie's passionate reaction.
But, you know, you push each other, you guys, to a level of – because understand, if I know that when I go to the hole, Scott's going to knock the crap out of me, then he better do that to this team that we're playing. Now we are holding each other accountable. There are so many different things that type of environment breeds.
Still can't talk over there, huh, Jason?
I'm not back!
Jason,
wasn't it beautiful?
It
was spot
it was
on.
Great.
Mic's not on.
Got teed up and
keep the mic on, okay, buddy?
We'll get you back. Jay Ross, we're continuing here.
You a hard breather?
I think this is why we're not allowed to do a show together regularly, because we get Doug Christie in trouble. We get the centerpiece of the radio station in trouble, man. Lincoln Kennedy coming up at 4:30. As we mentioned, we'll take your calls here as well, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Grant off for the day. Actually, we talked to Garrett Temple a few moments ago. The team was off today. They stayed in Boston. They're not heading to Detroit until tomorrow. When you go through so many losses like we've seen over the course of the last couple of days, last couple of games for the Sacramento Kings, is it just a matter of wait it out, on to the next one? I mean, are you sitting around looking at – like, what do you – I feel like as a coach, there's only so much you can take away from these games.
Yeah, but okay, so you got the video aspect of it, which allows you to be able to sit down and look at the positives as well as the negatives. And you follow Instagram and stuff. Do you follow exercise videos and stuff?
Of course.
I do a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see one and it have the red X on it and then it have the green check by it. This is not the way you do it.
Yep,
this is the
way.
And I think that's kind of a lot of the stuff that the Kings can do with this is like, yeah, there are a lot of things that we don't want to see. But it doesn't have to be negative. It can be, this is a learning curve of how do we get better and how do we do those things. I pointed out Buddy the other night. He's playing defense. The guy stops at the, it was Bradley Beal, end of the half. Pump fakes, Buddy jumps up in the air. He leans into him, gets a foul, puts him at the free throw line, knocks down two shots right before the end of the half. These are things, like, you're not a shot blocker. Like, never, ever will you be a shot blocker. Stay down on the ground and get a hand up, sir. They would put videos up with stuff like that, and they make it funny. Mm-hmm. And we learn, and we grow together.
So we need to make it more fun. for the Sacramento Kings.
Fundamentals.
There you go. Wow. Fundamentals. We're going to wash Doug's mouth out with soap. We're going to allow Jason to talk, and we'll come back.
I still want to give you that tea, Christy.
Can the lowdown trade cash considerations for Doug Christie? We'll think about that as we continue here with Sports 1140.